Well, I would like to introduce our next speaker, who goes without introduction, Kurt Nolte.
All right, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here this afternoon with you. I'm going to give you like an update on the Arizona Leafy Green Marketing Agreement. It's almost like a living experiment that we've been doing in Arizona and California for the last 8 years or so. And so where I work and live is an area that you may not know a whole lot about. It's on the southwest part of Arizona. We border the country of Mexico, and we share the boundary with California through the Colorado River. So in this area, it's a winter wonderland if you like leafy greens. So we have quite a bit of lettuce production that happens in the winter months. And if you happen to eat a salad between the months of November and March, it typically is going to be grown in Yuma, Arizona. We have, 9 salad plants, about 30 coolers, and so we are the epicenter for winter leafy green production in the United States. Today I'm going to talk to you about the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement. As many of you know, being involved in fresh produce safety, there's a whole gamut of fresh produce safety programs that are available. And today what I was going to kind of give you an update on is the Leafy Green Marketing Agreement. Thank you very much, Byron. Okay, so how did this whole Leafy Green Marketing Agreement begin? It basically started in 2006 with the E. coli outbreak in spinach in California. You can see there was a pretty catastrophic loss in spinach production, even in the place where I work and live in Arizona, despite the fact that spinach outbreak happened in California. Whenever there's an outbreak, there's that ripple effect that I may have talked about in other occasions with you. And so despite the fact that you may have a small localized outbreak, say in your particular locale, keep in mind that regionalized ripple effect of an outbreak can have catastrophic effects for an entire state, in our case, the entire southwest part of the United States. And so this marketing agreement came about back in 2006-2007. The scope of the LGMA is we work pretty closely with California producers. Essentially, almost 95% of all the leafy greens are grown between the two states. The products that are covered in LGMA include lettuce, spinach, spring mix, cabbage, kale, and these kind of commodities. If you're not familiar with the LGMA, it's a shipper marketing agreement. So in other words, what that basically means is a grower is going to sell his or her product to a shipper like Dole, Fresh Express, Tennemer, and Antel. And if the grower is not compliant in LGMA, then that grower will not be allowed or not be able to sell his produce to that particular shipper. And so it's called a shipper marketing agreement. In other words, if the grower is not compliant, essentially there's no sale. There is a tax, if you want to call it that. There's a 0.33 for every carton of lettuce that's sold in Arizona. And those funds are accumulated over the course of a season. And it essentially provides us, university, with research funds. And it also provides funding for staff who review, look at violations that occur in the industry, all of the managing of the administrative role that goes on. And it oversees the relationship between the USDA, the FDA, Western Growers Association, and others. And so this Leafy Green Market Agreement is part of only two states in the nation where there's a fairly large group of growers in those two areas that have to adhere to a fairly rigorous collection of guidelines in production. So today what I wanted to do is just share you a snapshot of four things that are working and four things that are not. Very simple. So what's working? Number one, risk assessment. And so if any of you are interested in food safety, one of the things that's going to be coming up in fairly short term is risk assessment. So I would advise a lot of you to become really experts in the area of risk assessment, and each individual farm is going to be assessed for risk. And that's what we've done in Arizona. We've looked at ways to identify risk with regard to water quality, soil amendments, any sort of environmental conditions, and field operations. And so when we look at food safety in Arizona and risk, we're developing a culture. We're training growers to look for things that might be a risk in that particular growing environment. Number two, science-based. So a lot of folks look at the FSMA rules as like, okay, this rule's coming out, and then all of a sudden it's like the speed limit on the highway, you're never going to change it. Wrong. This is going to be an ongoing debate. This is going to be something that's going to be changing yearly, and I invite all of you to become engaged in the research, because it is going to be debate, because that's what we've been doing the last 8 years in Arizona. It's science-based, and so a lot of the details related to food safety are going to be changing over time, and that's something that we've been involved with as an institution in Arizona and California, and that is changing LGMA to be a little more user-friendly with the area of growers. Case in point, this particular slide that we're working on, the red refers to, this is animal waste in the field, and the other circle up there is a sprinkler. And so we're trying to assess the effects of that splash factor in sprinkler irrigated crops in reference to animal waste in fields. It's a very common thing that we see in Arizona. What also is working quite effectively here in the last 8 years is documentation. And so when we start developing food safety programs in your state, or maybe you already have those in place, one of the first things that happened in our state back in 2006 was, oh my God, I got to write all this stuff down. Now it's a way of life. And folks are trying to find easier ways to document certain things that happen in the field. And so to verify compliance, when we talk about a food safety outbreak, one of the first things that's going to happen is, okay, open up that filing cabinet and show us proof in written form that what you said you're going to do is actually happening. And so growers in our area are extremely savvy in terms of how they're handling their documentation, and they will not share that with folks like myself. It's a very integrated system that they're very proud of. The last area that's working is corrective action. So in other words, if we find, or if an auditor, an investigation happens, we do find something that is an issue, there's some corrective measures that take place on farm before a food safety outbreak actually occurs. And so we have auditors, we have internal folks that work within the companies in Arizona to combat issues that come up during the course of a season. Okay, so those are good things. What is not working? And this is the big thing that a lot of folks latch on to, and they think, oh my gosh, you know, this is not working. It's not for me. It's something that's they throw the whole program under the bus because it's not working. And so we too in Arizona with the LGMA have also identified certain conditions related to this and trying our best to cope with it. Number one. Gaps or good agricultural practice are certainly not guarantees. And so I was schooled pretty early on when I was saying publicly that, okay, if we monitor water quality, we will eliminate food safety outbreaks. Wrong. We can minimize the risk. We cannot eliminate it. So it's not necessarily a guarantee that we're going to be eliminating contamination. So this produce that we grow in Arizona is a commodity that's grown outdoors. It's close to native deserts, native areas, and so we do have animal intrusion, and we do have to monitor wildlife and animal waste in fields. Case in point, the outbreak that occurred in 2010 while the LGMA was in place. So despite the fact that we had a very rigorous collection of guidelines, we too have to suffer through outbreaks from time to time, and this is the only one that I can remember in the 100 years of produce that has been grown in the desert. Finally, another area that is a concern is clarifying some of these interrelationships that has been pointed out here this afternoon, and that is low levels of contamination can still lead to serious outbreaks. So despite the fact that we have a rigorous collection of sampling and we have some guidelines that we're following, we still find very low levels of contamination, which could lead to an outbreak. There are a few studies that suggest that the LGMA offers an improvement in food safety. And so despite the fact that we have the LGMA, which is a program which can minimize risk, there's no 100% sure solution that it's actually going to improve safety. So we haven't been through the grapevines, so to speak. We haven't been through enough time. It's only been around for about 8 years. Don't know exactly how this has played out. You know, 20 years from now, we may look at this and go, yeah, you know what, it has improved food safety, but it's still early in the game. And finally, expense. If a small grower jumps into LGMA, it may be a very difficult avenue to pursue. The companies that I work with are vertically integrated. They're multi-million dollar companies, and they actually hire people that are involved in fresh produce safety. Only farmers that have an alternative marketing strategy can actually say no to the LGMA. So very small growers would probably find it to be cost prohibitive to be involved in the LGMA. So with that in mind, it looks like I'm down to the wire here. Byron is telling me I got just a few minutes left, and I want to invite you to visit our Fresh Produce Safety social media site or sites. We're well integrated in trying to dilute some of the high power research that you may see in the conference here this week, and then boiling it down to a grower level. So you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and we're always looking for collaborative efforts. Despite the fact that we're pretty robust in what we do, we're very interested in working with a variety of different colleagues from across the nation and around the world. If you have an opportunity, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about some new things that you might want to do with us, which would be kind of neat. Okay, that's me. That's my number. That's how you can get a hold of me. And I'd be more than happy to answer any or all questions that you might have. Yes, sir.
Contamination can be a big problem and can cause a big loss for farmers and growers. And now, it's good that if it doesn't happen, but if it happens, is there any ways or protocols or programs to treat or to decontaminate the crops?
We have not found repeat the question. So the way I interpret your question, sir, for the sake of the recording, if there's a contaminant in the field, is there any special solution that a grower can apply? And we have not found that, no. Keep in mind that the 06 outbreak that happened in spinach was a bag salad product, and it was actually washed in a 3 part per million chlorine dip three times, and it still killed three people. So there, a lot of growers are interested in applying chlorine or other antimicrobials to the field, but we have not found that that's successful. We're looking at ways to decontaminate water through irrigation pipes and drip tape, and we have some ongoing research that suggests that is a possibility, but not on the fresh product. It's a very good question, and a lot of folks want the answer to that. I know some growers have applied chlorine to spinach, and it created an issue in the salad plant because the spinach tasted really, really bad. And so the balance is trying to find something that kills the bacteria but at the same time doesn't alter the flavor. Okay, great. Thank you very much, and I'll be around.